I'd like to introduce the other Bruce, Bruce Mader, who is from the University of Washington, who's going to be discussing adapting telemedicine strategies, meeting the needs of your target audience, high-impact HIV prevention, STD clinical issues, and clinical infrastructure.
Thank you. And also, thank you, Bruce, for setting me up. I feel like you did a wonderful job promoting the University of Washington and all of our products, so thank you. I'm Bruce Mader. I'm the director of the National Technological Innovation Center. That's kind of a mouthful. Basically, this work is funded as a Part B PTC project. So the A's are the regional PTCs. There are several B national initiatives. We are one of them. John Fitch from Denver right there is another one, and they just this week launched the PTC National STD Treatment App, which is phenomenal. So well done, my colleague. And like all of you in this room, we wear many hats. This just happens to be pink and sparkly. And a lot of the resources that Bruce mentions, I actually work on, so I'll be talking about that. Really, it's an intersection of all of our telehealth work at the UW, which is kind of extensive and impressive. As per usual for the University of Washington, I have no relevant financial disclosures. I had to disclose that on slide two. But I would like to disclose a huge thank you to Dr. Kent Unruh, who is our chief informatics officer. He is a brilliant man, and his brilliant mind touches all of our telehealth projects. We could not do our work without him. His work is what has brought me here today. And if you have the opportunity to hire an informatics person, you should do it immediately. They are amazing. And Bruce mentioned HIV web study. I work on that project with David Spock as a part of our Mountain West AETC work, formerly the Northwest AIDS Education and Training Center. We are also funded by HRSA through a subcontract from Rutgers, and we are building now the national HIV curriculum. So that will be launching in early January 2017. So very beginning 2017. It's going to look a lot like the Hep C online course that Bruce showed earlier. So we have the AETCs and their HIV web study and the coming soon national HIV curriculum. We also have the Hepatitis Training Center, which has the HEP web study that Bruce mentioned, and he also showed a slide for the Hep C online course. I strongly recommend checking that out. They offer free CNE and free CME. It's really a comprehensive site for Hep C information. And we are actually the National STD Curriculum Center. So again, we're another Part B funded PTC project, and this is launching in January 2017. This will have a section on the STD self-study modules that you might be familiar with from CDC. So we've basically been taking them, we're editing them now, we're improving the visuals. Those will be up on the site in January. We will also have a really interesting question bank function, so it's sort of like a board review style question and answer sort of app that you can do on your phone, on an iPad, on any device. It works on everything. We have a clinical challenges section, which is, I think, really interesting. It's sort of the gray areas of the STD treatment guidelines. So when things aren't clear, we present a scenario, and we have national experts actually weigh in on those scenarios, and you'll see their responses on the site. And then you, as an audience member, can actually comment, too, and see where you would fit into those scenarios. And then more case series, lectures, a huge a compository of training resources, and then a giant bibliography section. Not all of those pieces will be launching in January, but certainly the STD modules will be. And I want to start with our target audience and sort of the history of our work. So, weirdly, we were funded as a Part B Technical Innovation Center without a concrete work plan. So, as we were funded, and Denver was funded, another group called APEX, we all sort of figured out what our pieces would be. And Denver took on the app they had just built. And we wanted to do an STD echo. I also sometimes call it the STD Clinical Services Technical Cooperation Group, or STD TCG. I just throw out acronyms. God bless. If I over-acronym something, please raise your hand. So I'll try to refer to it as STD echo, but it's challenging. And so as we were thinking about this STD echo model, the UW also has a SEBA grant, which is the UW Public Health Capacity Building Center. And in talking with Matt Golden and Julie Dombrowski, the two directors of that project, in their SIBA work currently, which centers around high-impact HIV prevention, they have three sort of echo-ish sessions, a leadership group, a field services group, and a surveillance group. But the one piece that was sort of missing was the clinical component. So in talking with like Jeannie Marazzo and Matt and Julie, and then also Case from Denver as well, who is a consultant on the SIBA project, we are an incestuous group in Seattle. We really thought, look, the SIBA project is already embedded into these categorical STD clinics all over the U.S. They've started their work. It's going really well. And frankly, those STD clinics are in need. Like, it is amazing how they're sort of under-resourced. So what if we added, from the PTC perspective, an STD component? So SIBA, awesomely, provided this sort of, like, infrastructure. They had these inroads, and we came in with PTC resources, and the PTC medical directors stepped up. They participated in our echo sessions, and also the PTC fellows participate. So it was this great merger where we are doing more together than either program could do apart, and it really is an example of collaboration that I think is just different than anything I've seen before, and it's really effective. So what does it look like? So basically that represents an hour or a really ugly piece of pizza or slice of pizza. So that first little like light green pie represents 10 minutes of the hour, and that is just a 10-minute time frame where we have a clinical update. And Bruce mentioned like a clinical didactic, just a short burst, 10 minutes. Then we have 20 minutes of discussion around that issue. The next 10 minutes is around an operational issue in the clinic, like clinic workflow. And then the last 20 minutes is a discussion around that. Our model is a little different. We've adapted that model, so we don't really use case-based discussions. That's not really what our target audience wanted, right? They're busy clinicians, so they wanted this model. But what does that look like? So this is an agenda from a session we had a while ago, where Dr. Jeannie Marazzo, who's in the room right now, gave a talk on optimizing management of vaginitis in STD clinics. So that was 10 minutes. Then we had a discussion. And then Case did a 10-minute presentation on improving clinic efficiency. So basically tying that to Jeannie's talk, look, if we can treat recurrent BV in a different way, that will free up your clinic staff for other priorities. And it is right in the wheelhouse of what the clinicians have asked for, because their clinics are horribly busy and they're trying to figure out ways to resolve that, right? Sort of minimize the chaos. We start right at 10 a.m. Seattle time, 1 p.m. Eastern, and we roll with it. We do not have a lot of time. It's an hour. We run a pretty tight ship. And this is also a different model, you know, sort of like the standard didactic hour-long training. Like, really, this is 20 minutes of presentation and 40 minutes of discussion. It was designed to really allow the participants to discuss, to share, to have a working group around these issues. So that is different, but I do think the PTCs are uniquely positioned to do this work in the realm of STDs, so this just fits in with the PTC model so well. Yes, but what does it look like? So it kind of looks like Hollywood Squares or the Brady Bunch. Bruce showed this. So we have a room in our office, and then all of our sites in those 15 states, 22 sites I just showed you on that map, they all have cameras, and they all connect to the session. We actually ship them like really good HD cameras with really good audio components, because we want to be able to see our participants and hear them really well. That's not to say that sometimes people haven't connected by their cell phone. That is totally fine. It's just we kind of want the best outcome. But sometimes we're all busy, right, running around. We're on our phones. Sometimes people are on their couches at home. As long as we can see you, that's really what we want. And it's great. So like Bruce said, we use Zoom as well. It's a great web-based application. It's kind of like Adobe Connect, but much better. It's higher quality video, better audio. And whoever is talking, there's a little like highlighted box around that person so you can see them. I think one of our challenges is just making sure that people are on camera. And then I will say, too, that this requires like this level of work, sending the cameras, like basically giving them the cameras. It requires like a technology admin team to make this work. So you may have the faculty on board, awesome, and you may have your sites, also awesome, but you really do need to budget in, think about your tech team, because they are critical to making this work, like Kent Unruh. And then back to our target audience. So one of the challenges of our work is structuring these to be most beneficial for the clinician. Sometimes we sort of get lost in Well, we really want to tell them this. We want them to know this. That's sort of one-directional, and it's not really working. So we try to look at everything through the prism of what's most effective or useful for the clinician. You are busy clinicians. You are taking time out of your day to join us. So we want to make these sessions work for you. And there's that tension often when we're trying to plan our agendas, and that is a challenge for us. And on the flip side, one of the challenges is that I think there's webinar burnout. And so a lot of physicians or, you know, anyone on a webinar, you have come to understand that you can check your email, you can look at Facebook, you can text your kids. For these sessions, because we want people on camera, you really can't. So it's really getting people to understand the utility of your sessions and then having them buy into that. And that was a challenge, like, oh, it's a webinar. Why can't I just, nope, we need you on camera. And then finally, this is wrapped up in a website. So we have a website. We put all of our resources on this website, so basically any slide sets, any papers that were mentioned. This is closed to our working group because we're a closed working group. We're not a webinar. We have upcoming sessions. You can connect to Zoom in this way. You can connect to all of the participants. All of the participants have access to this. And it just helps sort of keep us together running a tight ship. And it also saves me on email, so I don't have to email people all the time with different resources. I can refer them to the website. Because keeping track of right now, we probably have 40 people actively listed as participants. That's a lot of people. And then finally, sort of the successes. And you know, Bruce sort of touched on this. I think you may have drunk the Kool-Aid, or hopefully, or at least reaching for it at this point. But I'll say, in the Echo universe, the one thing we talk about frequently is sort of the just-in-time needs of the clinician. Like, we're getting to them right at the right time with the right technology to help them. And so just one quick story. We have a site, actually, in Louisiana, and we were doing a talk on PrEP. And she said, oh, I'm meeting with Gilead tomorrow, and I want them to fund my PrEP clinic. Denver PTC jumped in and said, hey, we met with Gilead last week, and we can share with you our protocols and our proposal. We'll get it to you by the end of the session. And that is, I think, the prime example of how useful Echo can be. It really is in the moment and what the clinicians need. And that's all I got. I'm happy to answer questions.